Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Good to see everybody this morning. We're going to open up with prayer and get started. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you this morning, humbling our hearts with true humility, trusting you, looking to you, hearing from you this morning. We thank you for giving the people eyes to see with, ears to hear with, what your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would say to each one of them, helping them to come up in their faith, helping them to grow and increase in their faith. We thank you that your word is life, healing, medicine to all flesh, and your word never returns unto you void. But it does go out and accomplish that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. So we thank you today for that. We thank you for the anointing and the healing power of God present in this place. Where you are, there's your anointing. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And I ask for utterance to be given me. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips, your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We want to welcome all those online with us today. Hallelujah. Glad you came. Glad you turned us on and got you right there where you are with us this morning. And, you know, it's something about when you come to hear the Word of God, you got to mix your faith with what you're hearing, the Bible says. Mix your faith with what you're hearing. That it's not just hearing it that will do it, but it's mixing your faith with what you're hearing. And what do you mean by that, Pastor Debbie? Well, you begin to take that word that you're hearing and personalize it. You begin to claim it as your very own. You see yourself in the Word saying, that's mine. I have that. That's who I am. That's what I have in Jesus' name. The Word says so. Yep. Amen. Praise God. Let's take our Bibles this morning and start with our declaration together. I am a believer and not a doubter. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Today, I receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God down into my heart, and I believe that I receive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we have been talking about it's being the end of the year. This is our last Healing Center service today for this year. And then we'll start back up again, pick it up after Christmas and after the new year, which will be January the 8th. Woo! Here we go. But at the end of this year, it's been a good year. And I believe we've heard good reports. We've seen good reports come through this year. Excuse me. This year, and we're believing for even greater reports next year. What do you mean greater, Pastor Debbie? Well, the more people will be affected and impacted by what they're hearing.
Yeah,
we want more people to get this because God wants them to get it. Hallelujah. That is just as important as they understand the forgiveness of their sins, the remittance of their sins through the blood of Jesus at the same time their healing was purchased. Yeah. At the same time. But it seems to be so many times people have put the emphasis on their salvations, but they don't know what comes with that salvation. And so we want them to know and understand not only was the remittance of their sins, where their sins were washed away, slate was wiped clean, hallelujah, they were given a new heart, the new start, but also they were given health and healing for their physical body. Hallelujah. It was purchased at the same time, but we have to believe that, and we have to act on that, receive that as our own, and it doesn't mean it won't go unchallenged, and it doesn't mean that we're in this world, but we're not of the world. And so just because we're in this world doesn't mean that we have to accept everything that comes along. When we learn to resist the devil and not put up with his junk and not receive his junk, What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? Sickness, disease, fear, lack, want, poverty. Come on now. That's not our benefit package. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. We want to live the abundant life, the fullness of the blessing that he's promised and given to us. But it doesn't just mean it's going to fall in your lap and just show up automatically. No, he's waiting for you to believe that word, possess it, make it your own, and then begin to act on it. Hallelujah. Yeah, action. Faith is an act, isn't it? Yeah. It's not just knowing it, but it's also doing what you know. Doing what you know. You'll never grow until you begin to do what you know. It's the truth there. Amen. So this morning, we've been talking about last week, the week before, on roadblocks to healing. And we have been looking at the first one, which we said the first roadblock to healing is a lack of knowledge. People do not have the knowledge concerning what God's Word says. We talked about two different kinds of knowledge, but we talked about the knowledge of the Word of God, what God says about it. And about you and who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. And so there's a lack of knowledge of the Word of God concerning people and knowing who they are and what they have and what they can do in Christ. And so the enemy comes and takes an advantage of that lack of knowledge. We saw in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, Jesus said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that word perish means they die prematurely. Before your time that you've been promised as a long life on this earth. And the enemy comes along with sickness, disease, attacks, lacks, and all these other kind of things. And people just accept it and think, well, this is how it is, Pastor Debbie. I can't change it. I can't. Yes, you can. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. You don't have to accept everything that comes along, especially living in a fallen world where Satan is the little g god of this world system. But we've been given complete jurisdiction, authority, and power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. We've been given it. But if you're not exercising it, what? Not helping you, is it? Mm-mm. We have to exercise that authority. We have to resist the devil like it tells us. Resist him, James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise God. So that means you, when you resist something, if somebody comes and he's trying to knock on your door and you open it and he's trying to get in and pushing his way through, what are you trying to do? You're trying to push back and say, no, hold it now. Yeah, you can't just come right on in. I got to let you in first, and I ain't letting you in. We ain't letting the devil in. We ain't going to let him win. He's already lost in 2,000 years ago. For this purpose, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy, of the evil one. Hallelujah. So we looked at a lack of knowledge. And then we looked at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. It says, my people go into captivity to their enemies for not knowing the knowledge of the Word of God. Think about that. They go into captivity. Captivity. They're held captive by the very enemies of their souls, the enemy, the devil, because they don't know what God's Word says. And so when you don't know, you don't resist, and you allow, you permit, you put up with. Come on now. God doesn't want us to allow, permit. He allows what we allow. He permits what we permit. If you're going to put up with it, well, I can put up with this. No, you're not supposed to put up with it. You're supposed to resist it and stand against it. Yeah. Stand your ground. Hallelujah. Yeah. Withstand. Having done all to stand. Withstand. Hallelujah. We know that Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffering violence, but the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do. We can't give in to the enemy. We can't give him one inch, none. So knowledge of the Word of God is very vital to the believer's life. We saw in the book of Job, how in chapter 23 and in verse 12, how much Job said, I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. In other words, Job understood spiritual food before natural food. And then when you go into the New Testament, Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we know it carries right on into the New Testament. He told us it's more to food than just natural food for your physical body. Yes, you got to have natural food for your physical body. You know, it keeps it strong and healthy and sustains it and preserves it. Well, same way with spiritual food, except the Word of God is that faith food. It is food for the inward man, and we must choose the food. We must choose the food. Yeah, we do. We must choose to feed our faith every single day and to feed the inward man. Because the Bible also tells us the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily ailment or physical opposition, physical sickness. The strong spirit. Well, your spirit ain't going to be strong if you ain't feeding it properly. Well, Pastor Debbie, come on now. I don't have time to feed it. Well, that's the problem. You spend time and you will invest time in what you think is important. Which you don't think is important, you won't spend the time in. You have to decide that. And that's where we looked at the parable of the sower and how important the Word of God was, because the enemy was the one that came to steal the Word. But if we dig our roots deep in the Word of God, get planted, rooted, grounded, then when the storms of life come, we're able to what? Stand against the storms of life. It's not the storm of life that takes us out. It's how we respond to that storm. It's how we react to it. So the more we know the truth, the Word of God, then when the storms of life come, because Jesus said, he didn't say if they come, he said when they come. When the storms of life come, we're able to be that, what, that house that was built on the rock, the Word of God. And the winds came, the rains came, the same storm that hit the other house that was built on the sand. And it was completely destroyed, but the other house that was built on the rock, it withstood. That's you. When you let your roots go down deep, we saw that the process of getting those roots down deep into our hearts, the Word of God, is through meditation. Meditation of the Word of God, thinking on what God's Word says. You're learning to retrain yourself to think the way God thinks about you. And this takes time. It's a process, and we never arrive as long as we're living on this earth. Never. We're always in that process. All of us are in some level of that process in what? Renewing our minds. Exchanging our way of thinking for God's way of thinking, what He says about us. So never get tired and grow weary or get bored with the Word of God. If you get bored with it and you find yourself growing weary or tired of it, get on your knees and ask God for more desire and hunger for that Word. He will give it to you, let me tell you. He will give you that desire and that hunger for His Word. And understanding how vitally important that Word is and embracing that Word. Understanding that Word. It is our lifeline as a believer. We need the Word of God, and we need to know that Word for ourselves. You cannot act on somebody else's revelation and what they know and what they did when opposition came. No, you have to know the Word for yourself, so when the storms come or the opposition come, the challenges come, you know for yourself what to do. And so many times we try to act on somebody else's faith. Well, they did this, Pastor Debbie, and it worked for them. Well, that's grand. That's wonderful. I'm glad it did. But what about you? So each one of us, we found out in Psalms 119, verse 11, we have to hide the Word of God down in our hearts. Then it said, great peace have those who love thy law. Great peace, great peace, great peace have those who love the Word of God. So it's a love for this Word, esteeming it, valuing it, knowing how precious it is to our lives, and then partaking of it, spending time in it, meditating on it, moving it from information to revelation, and then where it comes back out of your mouth and becomes an action, an application out of your mouth, where you act on it. So we do not want to allow the enemy to take advantage or have an advantage over us because we do not know what the word says. We want to gain an advantage over him and do know what that word says and then act on that word. So we're not captive to our enemies. Or we don't die prematurely because we know what the word of God says. And we stand our ground. Hallelujah. Stand your ground. Praise God. So today, we're going to move to another one. Number two roadblock. So we saw number one roadblock was the lack of knowledge. Number two roadblock, unforgiveness. Do you know how many people in this world are harboring some form of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, animosity, a grudge towards somebody else? And they don't even realize that it's not harming the person that they have that grudge against or that bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness towards. It's not harming that person at all. Actually, as they are harboring that unforgiveness in their own hearts, it's eating them from the inside out. It will destroy them. I have seen many times in people's lives when they have been sick and sick and more sick. And we got to the root of it where there was a root of bitterness or a root of unforgiveness there. And we dealt with it. And the moment that we dealt with that root and they were able to release and let it drop and let it go and forgive that individual, they were instantly healed. Healing and forgiveness go together. So we have to learn to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe God. Believe His word. Not allow the enemy to squeeze in there some grudges and resentments and bitterness towards anybody else. No, we have to be what? Not ignorant of Satan's devices. One of his devices is harboring that unforgiveness in our heart. As long as you do that, you are opening the door for Satan, the enemy, to come in and wreak havoc in your life over and over again. When are you going to shut the door and say no more? I said, when are you going to shut that door and say no more? It's choosing. You know, forgiveness is a choice, a decision. It is not about a feeling. So many times people are waiting for feeling, but Pastor Debbie, I'm just waiting to when I can feel like I can. No, 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 honey, let me tell you, that feeling may never come. But the moment that you make a choice with your own will, the moment you decide with your own will, I choose to forgive them, release them, and let it go, let it drop quickly. In Jesus' name. The moment you do that, oh my gosh, there's an instant release. And it's like a big thing, a burden. Yes, gets lifted off of you. Come on now. We want to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. And recognize that old devil trying to get right there and trying to get me to keep an open door. No, we're going to shut that door. We're going to keep that door shut. Yep. I said, we're going to shut the door and keep that door shut. This is how you recognize when you start talking about it again, then you've reopened that door again. But you know, I forgave them, Pastor Debbie, but I can't forgive but what they did to me. Hold it now. Don't, we ain't talking about rehashing it. We're talking about let it go so it won't grow. Let it go so it won't grow. All right, so we're going to begin to look at some scriptures here together. So forgiveness is a decision of our own wills. It is a choice that you and I make, not based on a feeling, but based on what God has said in His Word. Okay? So let's see what Jesus has to say. First of all, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 14 and 15. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." That's a big one right there. If we don't forgive, guess what? Neither are we forgiven. We want to keep that door shut. Shut the door, no more. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 36. It says, "So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, compassionate, even as your Father is all these." Who is your heavenly Father? He's all of these things. He's what? Merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, compassionate. Think about that now. That's how your heavenly Father is. Verse 37. "Judge not, neither pronouncing judgment nor subjecting censure, but you will not be judged. And do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned and pronounced guilty. Acquit and forgive and release. Acquit and forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted and forgiven and released." Oh my goodness. You will be, if you choose to, give up resentment, forgive and release. Forgive that person and release that person. Yeah. Forgive and release. Let it drop. Mm-mm-mm. We'll talk about what God's Word has to say about this. This is serious. This is serious. We don't want to give the enemy any place in our lives. We want to keep that door shut. Yeah. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26. We're talking about roadblocks to healing. We don't want our faith to be hindered. We don't want our healing to be hindered or blocked. So if we're doing these things and guarding our heart, as it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "With all diligence, guard your heart. For out of it flow the forces of life." Force of faith, force of love comes out of your heart. We're looking at Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go." It's telling you how to do it. What? Anything against anyone. Anything against any, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. Mm-mm-mm. We're talking about keeping that door closed. We ain't giving the enemy one place, not one. Give the devil no place. Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. We ain't doing it through unforgiveness. We're guarding our hearts. And we're recognizing when that enemy tries to come and stir you up to be in resentment, to have a grudge or bitterness towards somebody or unforgiveness, you say, nope, 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 in Jesus' name, I refuse to be in unforgiveness to that individual. God, I give that individual to you. I release that individual. I refuse to have any bitterness in my heart towards them in Jesus' name. One translation says you, well, let's go there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 together. Colossians chapter 3. Well, this is a lot of word this morning, Pastor Debbie. Yes, it is, because it's the word that you know that if you do it, you'll grow. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 13. It says, be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily, say readily. Readily, pardoning each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Readily, pardoning. Do you know that word pardoning there means drop all charges? Do you know that sometimes you can begin to have a list and take an account of this, 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 and this from that individual? But it's telling you here, that word readily pardoning, drop all charges against them. Drop it. Drop it. Let it go readily. Be quick. We want to be quick to forgive. Quick. Readily. Freely. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. I'm helping you in here today. Yes. We talked about roadblocks to healing that will hinder your healing, hinder your faith, will stop it. We saw where the lack of knowledge was number one, but we're on number two now, and that's having any unforgiveness in our hearts. All right, so we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, indignation, bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper. Oh my gosh, Pastor Debbie is calling it out now. Yeah, it is. Helping you. Yes. Bad temper, rage, passion, resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you. With all malice, spite, ill will. Oh my gosh. Anybody ever heard what they had any ill will against somebody else? It says right here to what? Banish. Be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. We don't want to have any of these things in our lives. And if we do, today is going to be the day that you're going to release, you're going to forgive, and you're going to readily let it drop, let it go, and leave here free in Jesus' name. No more captive, a hell captive by the enemy. It's a prison house, and you do not need to remain in no prison house by the enemy. And then don't ever think your physical health won't spring forth speedily. Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. It works every time. So we're seeing right here, readily and freely. Readily and freely. Be banished from you these things. So we're learning to do what the Word says. We're learning to do what the Word says. God will never tell us to do something that we were not capable and able to do. It would be unjust and unfair. Yeah. So when He says you can forgive, you can forgive.
Yeah.
He says you can let it drop, let it go, release them. Yeah. You can let it drop, let it go, and release them.
Yeah.
You can. You can. Remember, it's not about a feeling. It's all about a decision, a choice of your own will. And how do you make a choice with your own will? You use your own words to declare that you're going to make a choice. Your words set your destination. Your words are either going to defeat you or your words are going to put you over. Hallelujah. Confession. A decision. A choice. Not a feeling. We're not waiting for a feeling. The feeling will eventually come once you make a choice and a decision to do the Word. But we're not waiting for a feeling first and then forgive them. Mm-mm. The enemy will make sure you'll never have a feeling to forgive them. Let's look at what God the Father says about this and for Himself. Let's look at Psalms chapter 86. Psalms chapter 86, what He has to say. Psalms 86 verse 5. All of these I'm reading from the Amplified Version. What God the Father has to say. Psalms 86 and in verse 5. It says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive." How is God? He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. "Our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever." The Bible says He takes our sins, throws them behind His back, never to remember them again.
Yes.
The only one that will remind you of your past or your sins is the enemy.
Right.
The echo of your past is not the... Say that again. It's not the voice of your future. The echo of your past is not the voice of your future. So we're looking at right here where God the Father, He says, "So for you, O Lord, are good, ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely forever. And you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon you." Woo! Glory to God. I love it. God is what? He's abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all who call upon Him. And then what does He tell us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1? We are to be imitators of Him. We're to imitate Him. If He chooses to be ready to forgive and to be abundant in mercy and compassion and kindness towards others, how much more should you and I be compassionate and kind and forgiving towards others? Imitating our Heavenly Father. That's Him.
Yeah.
But that's God, Pastor Debbie. Yes, and you were created in His likeness and His image.
Yeah.
You have the very life and nature of God on the inside of you. You are very capable of acting the same way He did, in forgiving and releasing people and letting them go. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let's look at another one. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're looking at verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Now, get this. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who's hanging on a cross and your place in my place. The Bible says he willingly hung on that cross for you and I to take our place. He's hanging on the cross, being crucified by the Pharisees. Those who were jealous of him, who were mad at him, who didn't understand who he was or what he was doing. It says right here, verse 34, Luke 23, this is Jesus in his crucifixion. And Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and distributed them by casting lots for them. Jesus was hung on the cross between two criminals who were deserving of what they did. Jesus didn't deserve this, but he willingly hung there for you and I. He made a choice, a decision. He was obedient to the Father's will. He knew the Father's way and the Father's will. And he chose to forgive them. They had spit on him. They had whipped him. They had done horrible things. They pulled out his beard, put a crown of thorns on his head. All of these horrible things. But he chose to say with his own mouth. He said it with his own mouth. Do you see how he released his the forgiveness? He said it. He didn't just think it. He said it. Father, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." So he said it out loud. The disciples heard him when he prayed it. Here's recorded by Luke. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yeah. And you and I are capable of doing the same thing. It's just making that choice and that decision to do it. Wow, Jesus did it. Let's look at another one of Jesus' disciples and apostles in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 54 through 60. We're looking at Stephen, one of the martyrs for Jesus. Stephen was an apostle for Jesus Christ. And it says right here, it says at the very beginning of chapter 7 that Stephen saw the glory of God. He starts talking about the glory of God in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And then in the end of Acts chapter 7, he sees the glory. But if you start right here in verse 54, Stephen, he just proclaimed a great message to the people. In verse 54, it says, "Now upon hearing these things, they," the Jews, "were cut to the heart." They were cut to the heart by the word that Stephen just preached to them. And it says, they were cut to the heart, but notice how it impacted them. And infuriated, they ground their teeth against Stephen. They did not want to accept the message that Stephen was preaching. And so it did just the opposite. It infuriated them because they didn't accept it or receive it or believe it. It infuriated them, and they ground their teeth against Stephen. But he, who Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, gazed into heaven, saw the glory, the splendor, the majesty of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand. Verse 56, and he said, Stephen, now Stephen said this, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand." But verse 57, but they raised a great shout and put their hands over their ears and rushed together upon him. You think about this. They were so against the message and the word that they were hearing, they put their hands over their own ears, ran towards Stephen. Now this is right, this is right serious here. And when he just said, I look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand, verse 57, but they raised a great shout, they put their hands over their ears, they rushed together upon him, verse 58. Then they dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. And the witnesses placed their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed. Obviously, it was out loud because they recorded this. They heard this with his own mouth out loud. He said, Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out loudly, Lord, fix not this sin upon them. My word, this is powerful. This is powerful. Oh my gosh, this is powerful. Don't ever think when you do that that the power of God isn't present and things begin to turn around and change immediately. Wow. Lord, fix not this sin upon them. Lay it not to their charge. And when he had said that this, he fell asleep in death. He died. Stephen, a martyr for Jesus Christ, was being stoned to death, and right in the midst of the stoning, he was able to say with his mouth, Lord, fix not this sin upon them. Fix not this sin upon them. Lay it not to their charge. And what do we talk about? Drop all charges. Pardoning. Drop all charges. Stephen chose to do it. He was an apostle, disciple of Jesus Christ. A mere human being just like you and I. And he chose to do it. It was a choice of his own will. It was not because he felt like it. It was not because Jesus felt like it. But it was a choice of their own will to make a decision to do that word. So powerful. So powerful. I don't think we even recognize and can fathom the power that's released when we do choose to forgive. Right. Let things go. Let it drop. Forgive. Any grudge, any resentment, bitterness, don't let it get in there. Immediately begin to do something about it. Be quick to forgive. Quick to let it go. The sooner that you're quick to let it go and let it drop, it won't take root in you. Because the more that you begin to dwell on what happened, what did, what was said, what was not said by the individual, the more that you dwell on it and harbor it and think on it, the bigger that thing grows. Let it go so it won't grow. We don't want that thing to swelter and swell and get bigger and bigger and begin to possess your life. Steal and rob from your faith, steal and rob from your health, and you wonder why you're sick all the time. Let these things go. Let the people go. Release them into the will and the plan of God for their lives. When I say release, I'm talking about releasing them into the plan and the will of God for their lives. Stephen, right here when he was being stoned to death, Paul, who was Saul at that time, who was against Christ, he was persecuting Christians, having them killed by the groves, going into their homes and everything, arresting them, having them killed. And Stephen right here releases Saul into God's plan and will. And Saul has an encounter on the road to Damascus, heading to a certain place for more persecution. And while he's headed there for more, He has an encounter with God. Don't ever think that was some power release when Stephen chose to release Saul, forgive him, let him go, into the plan and will of God for his life. Saul has an encounter, becomes falls down on his feet and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? You're talking about a situation that turned around a man that went from murdering Christians, taking their lives, persecution, and now he's standing up for that which he once persecuted and destroyed or tried to destroy. That's power released. Yeah. You don't know about that individual's life. Only God knows about that individual's life. Your part is to be responsible for yourself. You're not accountable for them and their actions, but you are accountable for yourself and your actions. Well, Pastor Debbie, it doesn't matter if they never come to you and say anything about, I was wrong, I asked you for it. No, don't look at it like that. Do your part. Keep your heart guarded. Guard it with all diligence, because out of your heart flow the forces of faith, love, peace, joy. Come on now. We want our faith to be working. We don't want no roadblocks. I want to end today in reading a story with Corrie Ten Boom. If none of you have ever heard of her, she and her sister Betsy hid some Jews. They hid some Jews in their home when the Jewish Holocaust was happening over there in Germany by Hitler and. They were taking Jews and putting them into concentration camps and destroying them. And she and Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy got caught hiding some Jews in their home. And so they were put into a prison or the Nazi concentration camp and stayed in there. And her sister didn't make it. Her sister died in the camp. But Corrie Ten Boom made it and she was released at the end. And she was able to tell this story. And it's so powerful. So that just kind of gives you a picture of where we are here. She says, it was in a church in Germany where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him. A bald and heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next moment I saw a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones on it. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush to me. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form body ahead of me. Ribs were sharp beneath the parchment of skin. Betsy, my sister, and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at the Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, a fine message, he said. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with any one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he said. I was a guard there. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. He's confronting her. She said, again, his hand came out towards me. Will you forgive me? He said. She said, I stood there and I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death for simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew it. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive them their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of your heart. Mm-mm-mm. She said, Jesus, help me. I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling, she said. And so, woodenly, mechanically, she said, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, she said, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I knew it right then. With Corey Ten Boom's willingness came God's power to forgive her former captor, her willingness to act on the word and do what she did not feel like doing, but she chose to do it because she knew what God's word said. And the moment she did, what happened? She felt that power surge through her hand to his hand. And she knew instantly that burden that she'd been holding and harboring, that unforgiveness, it was broke. It was broke off of her. No longer would she ever have that in her heart controlling her actions or even her words. She chose to forgive him. Even the enemy using all these harsh pictures and things, trying to bring back to her remembrance the horrible things, she got past that and she called on the help of Jesus. And she would. She did her part. She asked. She did her part by faith. He reached out God's hand through her hand. If we only knew and understand the power that's released, that's broken off of our lives, that thing never controls your life ever again. It has no more control over you. It's time that we rise up and act like the people of God. Be quick to forgive one another. Believe the best about each other. Even if you've heard and know opposite things, don't get caught in agreeing with other people saying, yeah, they're like that. They sure are. They act like that all the time. They do that. No. Say, I refuse to be a part of that conversation. Separate yourself from those conversations. Yeah. Is that what you do, Pastor Debbie? Yes. You don't have to partake with somebody else when they begin blabbing and talking about other people and rehashing their offense on you. Second offenses are worse than first offenses. Too many people are offended because so-and-so was offended. And you take on their offense. Are you kidding? This is not the time to do that. We need to be quick to forgive. Let it drop. Let it go. Let's stand to our feet. We don't have time to allow the enemy to hold us captive as prisoners in his prison house. No. It's time that we walk free, live free, help others get free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. If you're in here this morning and this message has spoke to you and you know that that's the Lord helping you today, then I want you to stand right where you are. We're going to pray this prayer together. We're going to release this, let it go, let it drop. You know the person, the individual. You can speak their name right there where you are. But the sooner you do this, the better you are off. You're not accountable for them. You are accountable for yourself. And we're talking about roadblocks to healing. We do not want any roadblocks to our faith or healing. We want that pure flow from our heart to His Word. That revelation flowing. So let's say this together. If that's for you today. Father God, in Jesus' name, I hear and understand your word today concerning forgiveness. Today, I make a choice, a decision with my own will to release, let it go, drop it. Forget it. Forgive them. Forgiving that individual. Right now, I choose to forgive them and release them. You know who they are. Into God's perfect plan and will for their life. I am free of any bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness in my life. I have chosen to do the word. Therefore, I no longer harbor any unforgiveness in my heart. My heart is free. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you need healing, if you need healing in your body.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.